This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by the Supreme Court. Yeah, you can't do that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show, where we talk about everything from politics to pop culture and everything in between.
I'm your host, Salty Salt.
Who do we have with us today?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
What's up? It's your girl, Sammy Joe.
What's up? This is Cummins.
What? Wow. Hey, everybody, this is Jeremy, and welcome to our...
Wait, hold on. Can you say your real...
Oh, fine. It's Connor.
Yeah, got it. How about a little less...
The last time Connor was with us, he was like 18.
And Mr. TikTok sensation himself. I seen.
Yeah.
He's got like blowing up on TikTok.
Just a little bit.
All right. Well, on this episode, we're going to talk about something that happened this week, man. As I was watching this, obviously I'm here visiting everybody. I'm in Arizona.
Saul's in the house. Yes. Saul's in the house.
It's good to be back. It's good to get some sun. Oh my God. You guys don't understand how it's gloomy out in Western PA, especially because of the freaking Canada fires are like spreading all over the East Coast. Wow. So it's good to see some sunshine and some, you know, blue skies for once. But I do want to talk about what happened this week. So the Supreme Court ruled on three cases. And now... I wanted to say this because, you know, there's a talk right now about who do we support, right? Because we all support DeSantis. I love DeSantis.
I love DeSantis. He's awesome. Yes.
And it's funny because I actually had a conversation out in Pennsylvania with a girl who works for the DeSantis campaign.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was telling her, look, if DeSantis wins the primaries, I will support him. You know, like if he gets out of... But we have to acknowledge the man, the myth, legend, Donald Trump, because it was his appointees. And the way I look at it, there's some presidents who don't even get to appoint any judges. Like some presidents go throughout their whole.
Oh, you know, I see what you're saying with the Supreme Court.
Yeah. And Trump in one term, he appoints three judges. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And not only does he appoint three judges, but he appoints three very conservative judges that right now have done more for the conservative movement than many Republicans put together before. Yeah. Than many Republican presidents before him, because a lot of the cultural issues that we have faced have been won in the courts by the liberals. So we'll talk about one. The first one is affirmative action. Okay, so what is affirmative action? For how long has this been going on, Jeremy? Maybe 30, 40 years? So affirmative action basically was, and we'll talk about specifically for colleges, right? And where colleges, what they were doing is they would accept minorities and specifically blacks more into their colleges than they would whites, Asians, and Hispanics. So they were basing it on race.
I thought it was gender also for some reason, but no.
Maybe even gender. Okay. You know, but there were certain criteria that you had to meet in order to get into a college university, right? And it went away from a merit-based system where how do you perform, right? Like how did you perform in high school? How did you, you know, and that's how you're going to be admitted into a college. No. One of the things was you had to be a minority. And so this is what affirmative action was. The court ruled that this violates the Constitution of equal protection, of equal rights under the law. And so when schools are admitting blacks at a higher rate to compensate for, and I say this in quotes, to compensate for the racism that America had, in itself, that is racism because you're looking at the person's color to admit somebody in. And so to me, that is such a win. And it is so good because it removes this idea. Because look, I always say this. If you inculcate in your kids that America is a racist country, that America is founded on racism, and to make up for that, you have to apply racist policies. Because it is a racist policy.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to accept you. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so here's the, it says affirmative action is defined as a set of procedures designed to eliminate unlawful discrimination among applicants, remedy the results of such prior discrimination, and prevent such discrimination in the future.
Right.
And it just says applicants may be seeking admission to an educational program or looking for professional employment.
So at the time, it probably had to do with the Black community and gender. That's why I was thinking gender, because I think women were part of it.
It was specifically
race.
Yeah. And minority.
So, so that's all going to turn and change now because what's the affirmative action now? Transgender. I mean, I'm just saying, right? It's gays, it's lesbians, it's trans.
But
it's
they can no longer do that.
LGBTQI, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, that would be the next step. Because it's not an issue anymore for women or Blacks. Now the problem is that we're being quote unquote racist against people who identify as
or discriminating
whatever.
Against people.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if you have the answer to this question or not, Saul, but has the Supreme Court made a ruling on affirmative action before at some point?
No. So these were policies that, and this is why I say that we have to acknowledge Trump's courage in this.
So how did this come to the Supreme Court now then, if it's not ever come to the Supreme Court?
It has come to the Supreme Court.
So it says here that in 1961, President John F. Kennedy issued an executive order mandating government contractors to take affirmative action to ensure that applicants are employed and that employees are treated during employment without regard to their race, creed, color, or national.
Well, right. So without regard to those things.
Right.
The problem is now it has to be the color, the creed, the race.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So we've come a very long way from the 1960s when Kennedy put it in place. It was
treat everybody equal.
And today you have to hire at least 27% Black people.
Regardless of their test scores, regardless of their qualifications.
And 23% Hispanics
or whatever. Yeah, how did that turn? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And we need to become, hey, you can't look at those things too. Well, now you've got to hire this many.
Right.
Right. Yeah. When did that happen? That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know kind of how, when I don't that
think
took
it,
place
it,
too.
I don't think it was necessarily, it happened at a point in time. I think it was progressively. I think companies started applying this because they were trying to compensate. So think about it this way. As more,
I bet there were lawsuits or something that.
No, there really, it had never really gone to let me put it this way. It might have gone to the courts, but there was not enough conservatives for the court to hear it. So even if cases did go to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court decided not to listen to it because they were like, yeah, we're not even going to, because I mean, can you imagine how many cases go to the Supreme Court that the Supreme Court says we're not even
going
to listen to it?
We're not going to touch it.
And so how many times did so many cases go to the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court, because there was not the majority conservative, right? Yeah. They would be like, we're just not going to listen to this case.
I wonder,
well, here we are.
I wonder if we could figure out how many cases make it to the Supreme Court where they just no, don't care.
Yeah.
Isn't all that stuff public record?
Sure.
I would imagine.
If you look that up,
right,
Samantha, I guarantee you're going to get to get that answer. But again, that's just one of the things right now where it makes sense, right? It should be merit based.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that, see, even the people who advocated for, well, we have to compensate for our racist past. We were being racist against Asians because Asians are the ones who outperform any other race.
Yeah, yeah.
And so while we were trying to bring up Blacks, we were being racist against Asians.
And now Middle Easterners.
Yeah, because
like they would fall into that too. Yeah.
But they should have fallen into a group of minorities. The fact that they didn't is a whole nother thing, but they should have still been considered.
The Asians?
Yeah. Everybody's a minority.
Oh, no.
Well, I should have been. I think within affirmative action, they were considered that, but like we said, over time, it all mutated from treat everybody the same to we need to, you know, bump these people up.
I also think, and I'm sure to your point, that Asians were probably classified in that until the Asians started overtaking, right? Because, okay, you have an Asian with a 4.0 but you have a black gentleman with a 3.8. Well, that's a no-brainer. The minority is the 4.0 as an Asian. So then I'm sure at some point someone had to have bitched and went, whoa, 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 this needs, we're still not getting our deserved equality.
But you know what?
And so at that point, the Asians were being put, but that's not, but that goes against the whole idea of what it was there for, I would think. Right.
You know what I would say, I think about also is that inadvertently they were creating an environment where people were going to think in a certain way that can be deemed racist. And let me elaborate on that, because think about it this way. If I know that the doctor that I'm going to see got into that position because of some affirmative action, not because of how well he performed, but because the hospital had to meet a quota. Think about this. Now, here I am on my deathbed and a black doctor comes in. I look at that black doctor now and I'm thinking, did you get there because of how you performed or because the hospital had to meet a quota in a certain way? Now I'm thinking racist because I'm thinking, are you there based on your merit?
I'm just curious, but most of my doctors now are like Middle Eastern or names, have the rag.
You're right.
No, Heidi, I'm kidding.
But the point still stands, which is, are you there because the hospital had to meet a minority quota, or are you there because you outperformed everybody else who was
way to go. Wait, I've never thought about it this way before, and now you're gonna screw me.
This is what I think about that. I think that's like a very skewed way of looking at things and kind of like in a negative light, instead of saying, okay, like we all, like say you all went to school. There's that big, that huge quote that's like, hey, we all got the degree, right? Yeah. Like we all did the work. And yes, doesn't mean like whether you're top of your class, that does have merit somewhere. But when you go into a room and like you guys all got the degree, it's like, is there someone that's maybe better at something? Sure. But you guys all did get through. So if you're looking at something like, hey, this doctor's here and like he might not be qualified. No, he still went to school,
medical school.
And he's like still,
okay. To your point. Okay. Let's expand on that. You're laying in your deathbed. Do you want somebody who fucking belly flopped his way? Or do you want the one who was fucking the best at it?
I think you're getting like aggressive about it because
but it's the truth. No, it's like,
you know what the truth? Have you been to medical school?
Somebody who belly
flop? Have you been to medical school? Do you think that they allow people to belly flop? There is, it's stringent.
I think medical school is the wrong example to use because I've not seen.
I have a lot of friends that are doctors and like, going through those rotations, the work that they have to do is not this like, I just flew by and like, I could just get under the radar.
I think that COVID proved that there's a lot of incompetent doctors who just follow a fucking piece of paper that somebody else told them to do.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with race on that
COVID
one.
COVID proved that shit.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with race.
It does because
I didn't see. I'm sorry.
I think he's making the point that there are doctors that make it through who are technically incompetent. And if you're pushing people who start out being borderline incompetent and you push them through these programs, they can still go through those programs and be incompetent.
You're also saying that like, you know, these people are incompetent, but it's like, that is not even the right words either. It's like when we talk about, hey, who is the best candidate? Okay. I think there's a line of like just being like, everyone sucks because
you are on your deathbed. Do you want the doctor who got C's all the way?
Are you going to know?
Can I finish?
You're making it up.
Can I finish again? But that's what the affirmative action thing did, because it guaranteed that a person who was black would get the position regardless if he just had C's, and the person who had all A's, because he was white or he was not the race that should have gotten, because we have to meet quotas. And that's the thing. Like, it's all good and well to say this theoretically. Great. Let's allow people. Let's balance this shit out. However, you're on your deathbed and you're going to get operated by somebody who belly flopped, got C's, and you're telling me it's the same thing as the guy who aced it all the way.
No, I just think that you're using the medical. I think medical is the wrong.
But I don't think so. I think it's the best example.
I think I use a different example than medical field.
Yeah.
But
so with me just graduating and stuff, look at your car. Your car gets you from point A to point B every day, all day. And there are people where, like, the school that I just graduated from, they have to meet a certain quota of who goes there and who doesn't. That school has a very large community of Hawaiians.
Yeah.
And
it's like,
shit. They have to meet a certain quota from other states. And also on top of that, different races. And so do you want someone that's going to belly flop, let's say, through the school I just graduated from, that's now going to go work on your car every day?
Right.
And that could possibly kill you and other people on the road. Yeah,
propagate that across every profession.
And I think that's more realistic than medical. The medical is such a different...
I was trying to steer it off of medical.
Even with that being said, can we baseline it though and say, you're literally also saying left and right. That's why it's so different. Instead of saying, hey, they both got A's, the point of affirmative action...
No, Samantha. The point of affirmative action is that a person who got C's... Just because he was black.
No, that was not the initial. No, it wasn't. She just read it. The initial point of affirmative action was...
I know, but it became that.
I understand. Okay. But the initial point of affirmative action was all things being equal.
No, they lowered the standards for the races.
Okay. But that was the question that first brought up was, at what point did it change from John F. Kennedy's 1961
saying they're both equal, but they're just not hiring them because they're black.
Correct.
Or they're a woman.
Correct. No.
That's what it started at. And that's what we're talking about.
But that's not where we're at today.
I know, but.
And that's what I'm arguing. So today, we're at.
But then
that's not affirmative action.
We're two different timetables here.
Yes.
Samantha is saying, and I think I agree with Samantha.
Yes.
In the 60s, right? You pass the medical bar?
Yes.
No, the medical exam.
Medical exams. You pass your medical exams, right? In the 60s. You're most likely a competent doctor.
Correct.
But what now, we have schools that lower their requirements to even get in. They lower their curriculum because, sure, it's one thing to let 75% of your students into your college as minority, but if 90% of that 75% fail to graduate, you're not meeting your quota. So then they have to lower their standards.
They did the same thing with the military when they wanted to make it equal with men and women, right? Okay, everybody has to do 50 sit-ups, 50 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, whatever. And then over time, but the initial ruling or the initial
intent
was utopian, right? It was all things being equal and let's treat everybody fairly. But then when the minority in the situation couldn't rise to the occasion to the rest of society, whatever that was. And in this case, Asians could rise to the occasion, even though they were a minority. Now they're no longer considered a minority and we put them in the rest. But that wasn't what the initial intent was. That's what's happened over time.
Right.
So, and to what Samantha's saying and where I agree with what she's saying is, and using the medical field is a piss poor example. And I'm going to explain why. Because as a whole, the medical field as a whole has fallen back on what's the bottom dollar, just like the damn politicians have. Sure. So it doesn't matter if they're all straight A students and they're all doing whatever they're the best of the best. And who cares about their sex and who cares about their color and who cares about any of that? They still did what they were told to do, like freaking sheep going, come on, let's round you up and put you in the little fences and everybody follow suit because it came down to the bottom dollar of their pockets,
sure,
which is different in a lot of ways than the affirmative action rollout that has changed over time.
But what I would say to that is, don't you think that if somebody's thinking independently and has a critical, instead of somebody who's just reading whatever is they're being told by whatever medical experts, right, are telling them, that there's some doctors who were going to think critically and they were going to say, well, no, let me question this. Because this doesn't make sense at all, right? Because from what I understand is that this thing that you're putting, this face diaper that you're putting in your face really is not really doing anything, right? Like you would think that they would think critically, but a majority of them, and I think this is a direct result of affirmative action because a lot of people got into these positions because they were not up to the standards to be able to do that. They were pushed into that. Look, let me put it this way. I think that a lot of people got into those positions because they were pushed into that, not because they qualified. Because the hospitals, because the schools had to meet a certain percentage of minorities to be in these positions. Yes.
I never paid attention to what their sex or their race or their gender or whatever else was for the people that were speaking up. because the white guy that was sitting next to whatever dipshit on the hill was not an affirmative action candidate. So I mean,
yeah.
Well, Fauci.
I think, you know, if you don't like the medical example, this can be used on anything to Connor's point.
I do think there are other fields.
This just propagated everywhere. And I think it was a detriment to society. It's bad. And it opened the door for people like myself to be in that position. Be like, do I trust you based on your merits? Or do I trust that somebody put you there because they had to meet a quota?
But you know what? Wrong. The other thing about that, too, is that everything goes back to the bottom line and to greed, because how it started, which we've talked about, comes from a good place, comes from, hey, equal. Sure. Let's just make sure that like people are getting the opportunity when they have the criteria. And the fact that at what point that turn happened where somebody said, who I'm sure, let's put it out there, probably wasn't a minority, said, hey, you know what? These people aren't making it in, but we've got to create this number. So we're going to lower the standard. Right. At that person who made that level was not a dumb black person or a dumb Asian or a dumb woman.
Yeah. No, so it was some dumb white person
with good intention.
That was not
a good intention.
That's not a good intention. Instead of fixing the problem and saying, hey, they're not making the quota, we got to figure out how to get them there instead of lowering it.
Yeah. We're seeing that today too. We're still seeing it. People are saying, oh, well, we need to go force fathers to be more involved with their wives or with their baby mamas and their babies and their whatever. And we're trying to force it. And now we're going to lower standards to force this thing to happen instead of looking at the root cause of it and going, well, why is this relationship not happening to begin with and fixing that part of it? The John F. Kennedy's intent was necessary and needed at the time, because let's be real. There was absolutely a discrimination there where people were going, I have apples to apples in front of me and I am holding a preconceived notion over sex or race, gender,
especially in that time,
and that was
period.
there in the 1960s, absolutely,
especially for the Asian population.
Yeah,
right after like the World War II and the Vietnam, and like there was a large community, especially with having the Asian concentration camps in the U.S.
Right. Which nobody ever talks about, right?
Well, and that kind of destroys the point, like the point that everybody was making, because if Asians were still outperforming, even though they were actually put in concentration camps, I think that completely destroys the argument that, you know what I mean? Like if you're oppressed, then therefore we have to compensate for that and put you in positions, lower standards.
I'm talking about like originally, like the way it originally was started.
Yeah,
like if you had to,
like anything, even like we always go back to this because every movement starts from a position, from a good position, but then it outgrows itself. And
reform to say, we got to take a look at this now to say, this was really beneficial in 1961. How are we in 1970? How are we in 1980? And not, hey, have we met the quota of the numbers? Has it balanced? But like,
how are your feelings doing today? That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. But the court has corrected it now. And there's a lot of conservative organizations now that have started filing lawsuits against any colleges. The counterpart to the ACLU. I forget what they're called, but they just now sent like hundreds of letters colleges and said, cease and desist these practices or you're going to be sued because you're violating
a
court ruling.
So the Supreme Court received this case. Was it for Harvard?
It was Harvard, yeah.
Because I heard somebody say Harvard is still going to continue their practices.
Right.
They've reworded their policy so that it doesn't, it meets the Supreme Court's requirements, but they're going to do the exact same enrollment process.
Wait. So they're not looking at them as equals as far as everybody gets the same grades and we bring on everybody
with
the same
grades,
but we're going to...
I heard about it back when I was in high school. It was back in 2016, 2017. Harvard was the black community in Harvard wanted to be separate from the rest of the classes.
What?
They were trying to, when I was in high school, they were trying to re-self-segregate themselves from everybody else.
Well, I mean,
that, and Harvard shot it down because they're like, no, we're not doing this.
I believe what you're saying, Jeremy, is that the colleges are going to try to, you know, like, and that's why a lot of these conservative organizations have started suing them, is because they're not going to, they're going to try to find loopholes and continue to do this, lower standards for certain races, and just to compensate, right? Like, and it doesn't address the problem. What is the problem, right? The root of the problem is that it is a cultural thing, right? If you look at Asians, right? Why are they more successful in a predominantly white country, right? This is the truth. Nobody can deny this, right? Asians are very successful.
The numbers show it, yeah.
But they, because if you had ever Asian friends, I remember I had this Asian friend and I would go to his house and like he could not do anything until he finished all his homework
and flashcards.
And on top of that, and more on top of that. Like
music lessons or
academics was, it was like, but they also didn't do sports and.
They were still extracurricular, but it was like music.
Yeah.
Or like it was on that.
Enrichment.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They have like a strong study ethic and work ethic. Yeah. Right? And this was instilled by them. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I come from a Hispanic family. Do you ever think that I got set down and be like, no, you're never going to. No, like my mom, but it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't just as important for me. It was like, you know, find a job and, you know, whatever. It wasn't study hard.
Right.
It really wasn't. Right. I mean,
and to your point, I mean, just here in Arizona, for example, if you go south a little, there's a very vivid point at where the schools kind of change. In the what's the priority and what, and it is cultural to right. your, I mean, absolutely, I would agree. And I was going to go down that road when we were talking about doctors, like you brought up doctors. Well, who do you see? Like, if you want to, from a cultural standpoint, when you go to the doctor's office, they're usually predominantly
Asians. Middle either Eastern, Indians
Middle or, Eastern. Yeah. Yep. Middle Eastern, Asian. Mm-hmm. Ironically, my, women's clinic is all Caucasian women. I mean, like, and men, which is not of the norm. I feel like today it's not of the norm. But they're typically not
right
there, and they have heavy accents. Mm-hmm. I know all of the pediatrics that I take my kids to. So for me, I think, well, why is that? Well, if we want more, let's say, blacks in the medical field, then where do we need to make the changes? Okay. The schools. Well, let's go back. It takes us back to the public school system and how that's failing as a whole. And
let's think about how culture is formed.
And, yeah, exactly. Well, culture
so
too.
Let's think about, okay, what forms the culture, right? Like if we were to look at what is glorified for certain cultures.
Sure.
Right.
Asians are supposed to go into the medical field according to,
And blacks are supposed to be in sports.
What's the comedian? Right,
and rappers. This is what the public is selling.
Yes.
Is you're either a rapper or sports.
Yeah.
And so it hasn't focused on education.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is, so you want to make a shift and a change, then we need to change. And it doesn't, and let's be realistic, in today's world, it's little more and more, you don't see it. Excuse me. You don't see it in the households anymore, right? More and more, it's the education system. So it's the schools. So if you want these kids dreaming about something different, if you want these kids looking at a different future than what is culturally acceptable, and I'm like quoting, air quoting that for those that can't see it, because that's where you put it in the schools.
It's not the schools.
But it is becoming more and more the schools.
It's social media now.
Well,
nowadays it is social media.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's the media at school.
The media dominates.
At home, they're at their phones in the car. It is media.
Yeah.
Media teaches and more molds.
Look,
our young kids nowadays.
Everybody knows this. And we've said this multiple times, but if you look at what TikTok does in China,
exactly.
They feed the algorithms miraculously out in China. They feed the young people with things that are productive about education, about pursuing this. What are they feeding kids here in America? They're feeding them, you know, how to fucking just
memes
and fucking just
DIY,
do dances and just the ridiculous shit. And this is what they're being fed. So I agree with Connor.
Yeah, I don't know. The I'm media on truck and bike
dominate. And it's not just the social medias. It is the movies. It is Hollywood. Hollywood, I believe, has a big.
Blamed.
Illuminati. Yes. Why do you think you haven't heard from like Chris Pratt lately?
Yeah,
or you haven't heard from Ryan Reynolds doesn't talk as much anymore, and like he only shows up in his movies or he's promoting his movies. Yeah. If you look at all the super conservative and Republican movie.
Oh yeah, Tim Allen is.
Yeah, yeah. You don't.
No, Tim,
they all have started their own podcasts and have removed themselves from Hollywood, or are starting to remove themselves from Hollywood. Mm. Yeah. Look at Theo Vaughn. Theo Vaughn, he's a very libertarian comedian, and now he's separating himself from Hollywood. Same with Joe Rogan.
Rogan, man, that man's not going anywhere. He's a beast.
They're all still mostly separating themselves from Hollywood and trying to make their own sort of platform now.
And you know, honestly, that's the shakeup that needs to happen. And thank God we live in a country that
allows it.
And again, thank God for Donald Trump, because he's been out of office now for 2.5 years. And he's still doing amazing things with these judges. We have to give him credit for what he did. I want to move on to the next thing the rulings. And this one is actually goes again to the school stuff. And it was the student loan. So think about the way that Biden bought votes, right? We all know about this.
Mm-hmm. Student loan forgiveness.
You had kids who had never voted and they were like in line because they were like, oh, you're telling me I can get rid of 15 grand or 30 grand or 60 grand in student loans for my, whatever nonsensical degree that they got in freaking social cause, you know what I mean? Like, so these people thought that they were going to get this, and Biden promised this knowing damn well, even Nancy Pelosi said, I don't know if everybody was posting this video of Nancy Pelosi saying, yeah, Biden can't really do that because he doesn't, the power of the purse belongs to Congress, right? This is everybody understands this. So Biden can't really, the president doesn't have that power,
right?
He can't do that. And so the Supreme Court comes out and says, hey, the student loan forgiveness thing that you wanted to do, X it out.
Yeah.
And this is a victory for the conservative movement. Because think about, imagine if this had gone through. I for somebody who, like, I dropped out of college because I quickly realized, I always tell this story. I don't know if I told you guys. Let me tell you this. No, this is a true story. So I was going to Phoenix College, right? And before I went to DeVry University, but so I was at Phoenix College, and one of those humanities courses. I go into this class, and the teacher, the first thing that she says is like, okay, students, I just want you guys to know that I am as much a student here as I am a teacher, and you guys are as much students as you are teachers. I'm going to learn from you as much as you're going to learn from me. Right. And I'm looking around the room like, why the fuck am I paying this bitch? Right. So then days later, whatever, she has this class, she has this lesson, and she gets me, right, cause I'm Latino, and she gets a girl who is obviously Mormon or very religious, cause he's wearing a long old dress and like her hair is long, you know,
and stereotyping.
Yeah, no, but she was,
it works.
Right. She affirmative action.
So she
got both y'all on that.
She puts me on one end of the in front of the class, and she puts the girl on the other end, and she makes us face each other. Okay. And then she says, okay, I just want to give you guys an example. This is crazy. So she says, okay, walk towards each other. Right. So here we are, little Saul and whatever. Again, we're walking towards each other, and then we're facing each other. We get to the point where like we're face to face, and the teacher says, keep going. And I'm like, what do you mean? I can't keep going. I'm looking at her. She says, just keep going. And so what the girl does is she moves to the side. I keep going. And then she keeps going. Right. And so the teacher says, okay, I just want you guys to show you. See, I understand that this is what she said. She said, he comes from a Hispanic home. Typically Latinos are. Yeah. She goes, it is a, male dominated, right? Patriarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this is the first time I had heard the fucking term patriarchy, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It comes from a patriarchy. This is years ago. So it comes from a patriarch.
Years.
I'm fucking old. Patriarchal structure. And then she's like, and she's like, you are, she was, the girl was Mormon. So you're Mormon and the same thing, you know, the male is dominant. And therefore that's why she moved over, because the male is dominant. Like, so this teacher's giving this example. And I sat there and I'm like, okay, well, hold on. Right. Cause I was very vocal. And I'm like, hold on. And I'm like, you could have made the same analogy regardless of what would have happened. Because if I would have moved over, you would have said, see, he moved over because he is the man and he should let the docile female go, is what I told her. And then I started thinking about, I'm like, this bitch has been fucking doing this example for her students for how many decades? And regardless of what would have happened, she would have said the same thing. Patriarchy is to blame for this. And so this, to me, obviously, this was a wake up call for me where, like, fuck this shit. This bitch is like, this is what I'm wasting my money on. And that point on, I was like, school was a waste of time for me. Yeah.
But do you feel like that lesson of patriarchy, do you feel like that lesson though is also being neglected in today's society?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Well, so if you're not learning it in school,
right?
People aren't teaching it at home. Typically, it's not being learned at home either. And this is why I bring this up, is like our family, we have a patriarchal family right now. Mm-hmm. My father is our patriarch.
Right.
Okay. And so when there are things that my father will say, my dad will say that we are doing it this way because I am the patriarch and I am telling you, this is the way it's going to be done.
Right.
And when I am no longer alive to make the decisions from a patriarch standpoint, or I am not sound of mind to do it, at that point, it will filter down to your individual families. But when it comes to things that involve my family or my brother's family and the family that we have that he kind of oversees, when my dad makes a decision, that's the decision.
Right.
So, and that's not being taught today. And I think for my immediate family, I don't know that there's a patriarch in our family as much as there's a matriarch in our family, because not that Jeremy isn't the man in the household, because everybody knows that he wears the pants and he's the man in the household.
Well,
but when it comes to,
I'm like,
but it is
vote on that.
Okay. Well, but to the point of what you guys are saying, exactly to the point of what you guys are saying,
he wears pants, you tell him to put on.
I am absolutely the matriarch of our family. If I make his parents aren't coming to him. His parents are coming to me. Yeah. Right. So clearly I've taken on that role where there's a, it's passed from a
patriarchal.
Yeah, I'm not, but even, I mean, but with the, like yeah. his parents, the kids, the, even when it comes to my mom, I think even when it comes to my mom, when my dad passes, I really kind of feel like I'm going to be like, I hate to say I'm the boss, cause that's not the right way to say it, but there's a matriarch there or a patriarch there that isn't, and it's being lost. And I think that that's part of the problem that we're seeing in society today too, is that you don't have that anymore. Families are going, no, let the schools do it. Let the society do it. Let social media do it. Let anybody do it, but me or but my, mm-hmm. you know, the father or the mother. So yes, I get it. Like you looked at that and went, what do I need this for? Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
There was a lesson
being taught in that.
No, how she was presenting it as it was as a negative, right?
Oh, okay.
She was presenting it as a negative. And that's why I like completely shut off. And I'm like, I don't like, because like, yeah, at that time I was religious and I believe that, yeah, the man should be the leader.
Sure.
But her point was that women's rights were being, subjugated because.
You know what's so interesting in that example too? And again, I think, so many things boil down to like perception. So when you were going over that example, and even like you said, the lady could say it for both ways. To me, when the two people were right there and it was like, okay, go through. For me, her moving around was like, I'm going to go ahead and go around and keep going. To me, that's like, it wasn't being dismissive. It wasn't like, he's not going to move out of my way, so I'm moving over. But like, I can see how it's taken that way. But for me, I'm like, this is in my way.
Yeah.
You might think to yourself, I'm not going to move. I'm going to sit here. But I'm like, I made the first move. I'm going to get to the other side first because I made that.
Right.
So I don't think
you're willing.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're willing to make decisions to get to your end goal.
Yeah, right. My goal. Right.
And you're not going to, you're not going to let someone standing there prevent you from doing that.
Tell me, hey, I'm like, I'm going
to
keep
going. One thing I forgot to mention, and this is the thing, is that one of the rules that she stipulated was, you know, go in a straight line. And that, so to your point, I know what you're saying. But with that new fact that she said, go in a straight line and then keep going. Right. And so the rule was, you know, she wanted to see who would break first. And depending on who broke first, she was going to make the example.
She was going to do her example, whichever one it was. Yeah.
Now, I as you were talking, Heidi, it brought me this thing that this conversation that I actually had last night with a mutual friend, but with a friend of mine. And it was this, and you know, like there's been situations where I'm hanging out with friends and you know, married couples and whatever, and you know, they you know, because marriage is complicated for anybody who's been married and divorced, right? And so, you know, it's these awkward situations where couples start fighting, and then they're in front of your presence, and you're like, okay, I don't know where to look.
I'm like, you're popcorn.
Yeah. In the meantime, Saul's like, hit her. Saul doesn't care if she's right or wrong. He doesn't care. He's like, hit her. Like, no.
So, anyways, not to change the subject, but okay, we weren't talking about men and women relationships. We were talking about
matriarchs.
No, we weren't talking about that either. We were talking about student loan forgiveness and how the Supreme Court says you can't do it.
But you know what? The conversation evolves.
Regardless, he's talking about the patriarchy. Article lesson that
he was talking about why he decided college was bullshit and he wasn't going to do it anymore.
Exactly. Wait, what he's talking about. Spouses. Yeah. The conversation into it now. Really, he doesn't know where to look.
Connor,
right,
popcorn. Pop it. We're here right now.
And go.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit it. You know,
you're right, Derby. Like, we literally completely went off topic.
Yeah. Because I'm sitting here going,
how does this have to do
with it? What does this have to do with the Supreme Court? Did what was it? Well, no, we already did affirmative action. What was the other one?
Student loans.
Oh, yeah. Why are we talking about men and women?
That's true. You're right.
They squashed the stupidest thing ever about trying to forgive student loans. In the meantime, talk about the whole patriarchal and matriarchal thing that you were.
Only because, like I don't, unfortunately, we went down this path and now here we are. And let's just.
This is why it's called the Salty Show and not the Direct to the Answer Show.
I did have a question, though. When you guys were in that whole conversation, because it was interesting that you were like, our families, you know, and your dad is the patriarch of it. But then like, that's one side of it. But like, he has a family and his dad would be in that same, you know, wrote, you know, well, like, why is it like.
So she's shaking her head. No, but right. Like her father doesn't make decisions on relationships with my family. Right. That she's talking about more of her.
Yeah, but her
family structure, right?
Yeah, but like you said, like you and your brother, but like you guys have your families now. And so like what he says, you know, you're then in this. So it's like he might have this idea, but you guys are still, and you're like, oh, well, then when he dies, then it's like our own families break down. But I'm like, your family should already be broken down. I thought like in your own aspect.
And they are to a degree. What she's saying is when it comes to, you know, like we're getting together for the 4th of July, we're going to XYZ's house, that patriarchy
and
handles those sorts of scenarios.
Yeah. And maybe this is unique to our family, but like I'm leaving the country tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I obviously I have three, three biological children that I'm leaving behind. What? So I'm
biological?
Three biological children to me.
Oh. What? I'm adopted.
Wise ass.
I'm adopted. Look at my guy and then look at the other.
Well, one of them's an AI, but we don't bring it up.
It could be like a blended family situation. That's why I was being more specific. But so like I just had the conversation with my parents to say, hey, I'm leaving the country. Just so you guys know, like medical, here's the deal with the medical side of it. And they're my biological children. They're not Jeremy's biological children. So if something happens while I'm gone, how does that, like, where does that step up with the girls, with my kids, that, you know, my minors, because obviously I have an adult, but, and so I talked to my parents because my dad is the one for me to kind of step up to go, okay, we're going to talk to Jeremy, but Jeremy doesn't have a say. There's no legal say from Jeremy's standpoint.
Yeah, it would go to. It would go to their dad.
It would go to their biological father.
Yeah.
Now their biological father is going to turn to somebody. He doesn't make. He's not a patriarch, so he doesn't make those. Everything that he does
if he turned back to the family, it would be your dad making.
It would be
decision.
My dad making a decision. Mm. And like the girls made the comment, and I said, now, you know, dad being Jeremy, their step, for those who don't know, it's their stepdad, that they don't see that as a stepdad. But, you know, they're like, well, wait a minute. Like Bella made the comment. She's like, well, she knows that Jeremy has very, very strong opinions about stuff that concern the girls, because I am definitely more of a middle of the row. And there are things from a medical health standpoint that I do still believe in, where that's not what Jeremy has portrayed over the last few years. He's been very like, no, this is kind of like what Saul was just saying. You can't have any faith in the medical community. And so you can't, whatever it is. And like I just said, and I said to my daughter, as she was bringing this up, I'm like, hold on a minute. I believe the same as my husband, who is your dad in this, you know, stepdad, but dad. But to her point, there are other things where Jeremy and I don't see eye to eye and agree on when it comes to medical stuff, where I want the patriarch, which is my father, to kind of, and Scott is going to turn to my father. Like Scott doesn't have, he respects and he appreciates Jeremy for being dad and for being the man and for doing all the things he's done. But he's going to look at my father as the patriarch to say,
what should happen with the girls?
What should I be doing right now? Like, he's not going to make his own decision on what to do for his daughters.
Gotcha.
So for at least for our situation, there's a very patriarchal. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times too, it depends on the family. Cause I know a lot of people where the dad is not a patriarch and the older brother is a patriarch.
Yes.
And it all depends on how the family's dynamics has presented themselves to each other. And sometimes the father or the dad just doesn't have the cojones to do it. No. He doesn't.
Or maybe he hasn't been around or whatever the case is, right?
Yeah.
The Native American community is a prime example of this too. It's not mom and dad. It's aunt and uncle.
The uncle and siblings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Native American community, they have an aunt and an uncle and they play the roles of those rule makers or those disciplinarians or whatever. Yeah. So it's very cultural, right?
I like that I'm the rule maker.
You're the matriarch, right?
Let's reel it back into student loan.
Okay, what's the third?
I want it free. I want all my student loans free.
Well, yeah, and so I want to talk a little bit, I guess, about
I have student loans, and let me tell you, I knew what I was getting into when I signed up for those student loans. I do not want to pay it back in my taxes or anywhere else, right?
We've talked about this on previous shows. It's like these students went into, you know, knowing the rules.
Yeah.
They went into a contract with basically the citizens of the United States and says, hey, I want to borrow some money from you so I can go to school so that hopefully I'll be a better citizen.
Right.
And we all said, okay, sure, let's do that. But it's gotten to the point now where they've just mutilated this whole idea, right? These colleges are now charging 3, 4, 5 times more than they were before the government got involved. We have politicians that are like, well, this is too expensive now, so we need to forgive these loans. It's like, well, okay, first of all, if student loans are a bad thing, why are we still giving them out?
And why are we looking at an adult child and going, oh, because you're only 21 years old.
18.
You can't do this. Or 18 years old. But 18, but 21. We're a 21-year-old kid, a 21-year-old adult, right? Because let's be real, they're not kids anymore, especially when they are not living at home. And I'm talking specifically about what we went through with Connor. They would not give him funding unless I put my name on the loans. Why? Yeah. He's 21 years old. He doesn't live at home. He has his own job.
They want to make sure that they get that money.
Oh, P.S. By the way, hold on a minute. No. Because he's making six figures a fucking year and I'm making nothing.
Yeah, at the time, they would not.
You know what they said?
A lot of money.
They said, is he married or does he have children?
Or am I in the military?
How the fuck is any of that right?
That's
what
made me independent.
He is 21 years old, making six figures, living outside the house. I am making zero income. You know what they fell back on? My husband, who, by the way, is not his father.
Yeah. See, these rules are just, they're really weird. And
so I get to carry his $60,000 in student loans.
Wow. If he doesn't pay him. It's a code.
It's in my name.
Oh, they wouldn't put it in his name at all?
You're not allowed to put them in. No.
Because I wasn't 24, the parent. In the military, had kids.
You are married. The parent. That's the law. By the way, that goes until the kid is 26 fucking years old. Are you ready?
24.
26 years old. Thank you, Obama. So are you ready to carry your kid as a dependent until the age that they are 26 years old? What were you doing between the ages of 18 and 26 years old?
What was I doing?
No, I'm just saying in general.
It got really silent. So I was wait, is this a question towards me?
No. But I mean, I know families that got married and had babies. And because they were still in fucking school, the medical for the parents paid for the babies to be had and the student loans.
Right. You know what? The way I look at this is, why is the taxpayer held accountable for that? If these institutions are charging because they are while everywhere else, you know, like the economy is going to shit everywhere else. But all of a sudden these colleges, they're like doing amazingly because their prices continue to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Why aren't we saying, guess what, Harvard, you're not going to get that money. No,
you know, honey.
Right. You know what I mean? Like why aren't they held accountable for the prices that they're charging? Right. Why is the taxpayer, especially how unfair is it, right, that I dropped out of college and I was like, yeah, fuck this. This wasn't for me. Yeah. I don't want it. And guess what? Now I have to pay for somebody who decided to do it.
Right.
What?
Right.
That's like the most unfair thing 100%. For anybody. Yeah. It's like, why not? Let's not stop with college tuition. Let's go with mortgages. Let's go with credit card debt. Let's, you know what? But you know what? That's where they want to go.
Right.
Because as soon as the government owns you, then they can control you.
Right.
And that's the ultimate goal. So to your point, Heidi, and I think everybody's making this point here, is the system is being created to be convoluted and complicated, and it benefits them. You know, it benefits them to have people in a desperate situation where they're like, oh, government, please do something. And I'm glad that this ruling, the court said no. You are old enough. If you're an 18-year-old and you sign a whatever, that's your responsibility. If you parent took on that burden for your child, I'm sorry. This is not my fault. I am not going to be forced to pay for somebody else, right?
Yeah.
You took on that risk. And on top of that, some of these degrees that these people are getting, you know what I mean? Like they don't, you're not even going into the field.
Right.
You're not even working in the field.
Yeah, I will say, at least.
The only thing that your degree prepares you for is to teach other kids that same degree.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, the one thing that I took to Connor, I mean, to a huge credit to Connor, right? Because he did just graduate a week ago yesterday.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, he graduated. And I'm carrying he's paying it. Not me, but I am carrying this student loan for him and that he's going to be paying. But he didn't, to your point, he didn't go get basket weaving or a business degree like maybe I carry. No, he went and he got a degree that is like he's going to use, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
In automotive and diesel. Mechanics. He has been a mechanic for a little over a year now in the field that he wants to go into. Yeah,
it's been almost 2 years.
For sure. Even longer, really, because you started at 16 and Big O. But so he got, and it is an associate's degree, but it's also got that technical piece to it where it was very hands-on. It was truly
honestly, that's all
what
you
he
need.
Needed to
you
have.
You get your foot in the door and you're going to work your way
and,
up, man.
Yeah. And in the meantime, it's like, so he finished with his 2-year degree to go and do something he loves, truly loves. I mean, how cool is that? that you do what you love every single day. And the kid, he is a kid, right? Yesterday, he turned 23 years old. So here's this kid who has a degree in a program where he's got hands-on experience because he went through 2 years of hands-on lab stuff, working on all the stuff he was learning. Field. And then he has 2 years of being in the field. And now he's got these job offers where, I mean, he can make six figures. And it's not bullshit. It's, you've got it. It's you. You get to now go and do this. Right. And so there's a lot to be said about that.
You know, and that's areas, those are fields that are very highly in demand and needed.
Right.
Yeah.
And they do something for society, but there's a lot of degrees.
It's recession
proof. Colleges are offering degrees and shit that you're never going to Jeremy's point, you're never going to find a job that's going to in gender studies. Really? Like,
this is what I also feel like, not to interrupt, but like, one, we know college is a business. Two, I feel like college is not about your degree unless you're going to be, you know, pre-med, you're going to be a doctor and or
hard sciences,
engineering. Yes, exactly. Hard sciences. Fields. Other than that, I feel like it is a place where you go and it's almost like that same thing. Like you get there and like, can you finish? Like you're going through this thing and that's really all it's going to do. Like, can you stick through and do these things and finish? Cause you're going to learn about Greek mythology. You're going to take basket weaving.
Yeah.
You get to do these electives to try some things out. It's like, you know, depending on, again, if you're paying for yourself to get to college, if you got there for a scholarship or like grants, or if like your parents just wanted to send you there, you know, cause that's like, you got to go through college and whatever else. But it's like, I don't want to say it's like training camp, but it doesn't, just to reiterate the point, it is not going to get you somewhere in the world just to say, I went to college.
It's a box.
And that's what it used to be, to say, oh my gosh, it was such a big deal if you got to go to college because you're learning these things and it's an actual coveted thing.
Right.
And they used to have a lot of like the VOTEC.
Vocational
things to do, and it incorporated in high schools where you could do half days there and like learn a trade.
And
totally
a lot
dismantled that for like no good reason other than money.
And some schools are coming back with that.
They so should.
Like Deer Valley District. Maybe there's more for those of us that are in Arizona, but like Deer Valley District, partners with what they call WestMEC, and that's vocational. So like you can finish high school and be a phlebotomist because you went to WestMEC. You can finish high school and like get into aviation. You can finish an EMT. You can finish high school and then be an EMT at the same time and be have the preliminaries for like a firefighter, or, you know, so WestMEC, it has kind of started filling that vocational thing that used to be a thing. Right. So,
yeah. And like to that point too, where like they took away some things that are actually like people can use and like do something, get out of high school and go forward in something that people need. Because as we grow older, I don't know if you guys like listen to like Tony Robbins or even like Gary Vee, and just people like, we have to bring value not only to ourselves, but like to the world, to actually like make a difference and change. And so if you're not figuring out how to do that, like, doesn't matter if we're in the same industry, like you're going to rise to the top because you brought the value, not just because, you know, we all put makeup on or we all do, you know,
we all cars.
Like, you're good at what you do and you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
But I wanted to also say is that they tack on to your point. The system is made to keep you, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Because now it's like, well, you go to college and okay, I went to college. You told me this is what I need to do. And now when I get out, you go and try to put your resumes out there. And then they're like, okay, well, you need experience. So now you're in college, you're a freshman, and now you're worried about every summer trying to figure out, I gotta have an internship because when I get out, they want to see that I've had at least experience. And so then it's like, there was just a meme I saw the other day. It was like, you know, as a baby, and it's like, you need to have 10 years experience before you can even, you know, you just kind of school. I don't have experience. You guys sent me here to learn. And now you said I have to have experience. Right. Like, when am I supposed to do all this? But it's to keep you trapped.
Right.
It's literally to keep you feeling like
a perpetual student in the system.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, okay. So going back to this, the need for college and all that shit, to your point, Mike Rowe, I think you always bring this point up. Mike Rowe does that. He's advocating now for people to get into the trades and go into those vocational things because there's a need for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a high demand. There's like all these, I think you always say this, like there's companies that are trying to hire, and but there's no skills.
And they make it there. Well, and they've made it where it's like, it's not cool to work. It's right. Oh, I've got to work in a factory. It's like, yeah. Yes, bro, you do. Yeah. We need it and you need money. And this is like, we're supposed to work. Like,
but you know what?
That, I'm interviewing right make, now.
But that adds to a lot of things. You know, like, honestly, like this is crazy, but because that adds like, you know, you have that creates men, right? Yes. Like it, yeah. It
yes.
Does.
Yeah.
Which yes. In turn, women find attractive, like all these topics that we talk about, all these talking, no, I'm telling you, like, and they're all related. And then you start realizing that this is systemic. This is like, there's a trying to break down mm-hmm. of society that is happening, and it's not coincidental. This is on purpose. And this is why, like, you know, obviously we do the show and we talk about these things because it's important that we need to bring this shit up. And this is why that ruling in the court was so important, because I promise you, this is going to start changing a lot of shit, because all these nonsensical degrees in bullshit, people, you know, who are now faced with $60,000 debt in a degree that they can't use are going to think these people are going to have kids. You think they're going to tell their kids go to, they're going to be like, fuck those classes.
Yeah.
And those classes are not going to get any students in them, and they're going to die out.
But you're saying 60,000. 60,000 is not what it is to get the your 460. That was an associate's degree in a technical school.
Yeah, that's the normal. Like,
that's not the norm.
Scottsdale community is like 90.
Yeah.
And that's
for the 2-year degree, right? But so to your point of what you were just saying about people going out there, and I have been in hiring mode, right? Because again, we talked about this a few episodes ago where it's like, now's my time. It's time for me to get back in the game. My family's stable. I'm ready to play. And I'm trying to hire staff. I have interviewed amazing resumes. Okay. Amazing resumes, bachelor's, master's, consistent employment history with their companies, just freaking on paper. They are amazing. I tell them upfront, you will have a 2 to 4 hour interview, at which point some of it will be working. Okay. All races, all genders, all you name it. This is the consistent thing that I'm getting. Partially through the time frame. Oh, I have to go. I have an appointment. I can't finish. Wait, what? I made it clear. We're not even an hour into this, and you're telling me we have to go. You have to go. And I already stipulated it up front. It's a minimum of 2 hours and a maximum of 4. How do you have a doctor's appointment programmed in the middle of your 2 hours, let alone reaching right past that? A. B. Well, what does a part-time schedule look like? You want me to work full-time? Well, how much are you going to pay me for part-time? These are phenomenal resumes.
People don't want to
work. Educated.
People do not.
Work history. like, you name it. And again, across every gender and every race. Mm. Where I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so excited. Please. Mm-mm. No.
No.
No. Because too many hours, they're full time, or they have to work for it. No. No. Mm. Oh, you want me to come in the office?
Well, that's
I can work from home.
Wait. You want me to not only come into the office, but you want me to reach out to people?
Oh yeah.
But hold on. You work for USAA. You work like one of them was USAA. One of them was a police officer who now teaches part time. Like we're talking about candidates where you would be like, what? And it's not, I have competitive pay. I have benefits. I have work environments. People, my clients are now like, we want to come in because it is amazing here. We just want to see everybody and be in this environment. So but they have to work or they have to spend too much time.
That's one thing I'm starting to find with looking at new jobs. I was trying to get a job at Tractor and Equipment Cat up in Montana.
Mm-hmm. And
did you see the A? Yes. It took me a while to figure out that was a naked woman.
But, so when I was,
she just saw it.
That's funny.
So I was interviewing with them. I've been building rapport with them for a while. Since October of last year, I've been building rapport with these people. And I finally coming up 2 months left of school. I get an interview with them. They came back. I got an interview with them. I was the first one there. I even went in before they had the job fair to make sure I got an interview with them to get with them. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking on the phone with the one guy, and it's for rental. Cause you know, you got to start somewhere. I'm not going to be put on the big stuff automatically. I knew that going into the interview, whatever. And I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, you're going to be on rental. And I was like, okay, yeah, but that'll be new for me. And he's like, well, what do you work on now? I'm like, I don't work on anything smaller than a D6, and which is a decent sized dozer. And then I don't work on anything smaller than a 613 scraper. Like that, we have one of those. The rest of them are 637s, which is probably about this half the size of this block. And then a 57 is just as big. I mean, a tire is probably about as big as a 3-story house.
Jesus.
So I'm like, I don't work on small stuff. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna have to call you back. He hangs up on me. And another location in Great Falls, Montana calls me. They're like, he said you would be a better fit for us. What's your schedule look like? I'm like, I'll work what you want me to work. Yeah. I'm like, you want 60 hours? I'll work 60 hours. You want me to work 120 hours in a week? I'll work 120 hours in a week. Yeah. And he's like, wait, what? You actually want the overtime? I'm like, hell yeah, I want the overtime. I'll live there. Mm-hmm. You want me to be there? I will be there. And he's like, that's new to us. I was like, the only thing that I say and ask is if you are going to have me working 16 hours, 18 hours, I have a dog. It's coming with me. And he's like, we can make that work.
Nice.
And I was like, really?
He was like, yeah. He's like, I need it.
I was like, in the shop or in the field? Because I love field work. He was like, we'll put you in your own truck with no helper and you can have your dog.
He comes home. And he's I need a trailer. I go, a camper. Awesome. I'm like, okay. He says, because I'm going to park it on my job site for Beretta. So she has, and I'm going, you're going to do, what? You're going to do,
they now, said mind I could
you,
park-
this is a very well-trained, obvious, I mean, you guys, she's very well-trained and can handle that, this kind of lifestyle.
She used to sleep underneath the truck when it was in the backyard.
But I was still like, but I'm still like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, no, they'll accommodate. Yeah.
They cool. said I could park my fifth wheel on the yard. So where they keep all the equipment or whatever, I could park my trailer in the back. And just go, you know, dump what I needed to dump and come back and me and my dog.
You bring up a good point because like to me, like, especially when trying to get your foot in the door, like you have,
you people, do whatever you have to do.
Like, and you have people who are like, oh, well, I got an appointment. Then the fuck out of here. that's my attitude.
I mean,
like you have to give some to get some, right? Like you have to, but people, it's an entitlement.
Supreme Court.
What's the third one? We already got to two.
We've, but this is what it happens. I did want, you know, I don't know if we want to talk about this one, but this one is actually another big one, which is a big win for, you know, religious freedom. And so the Supreme Court decided, you know, the whole issue with the website designers can now decline. And this was also being an issue with the person who didn't want to bake a cake for gay weddings. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that case in Colorado?
Yeah.
So it was getting harassed by the state, and they were like suing him because he didn't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah. So this eventually ended up going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, hey, people who this violates their religious freedom, you know, it's strictly states. And, you know, and so the Supreme, again, and these are huge rulings that are going to have, you know, ripple waves in a few years. I don't think people understand the impacts of this. I think this will have, you know, but you were saying something earlier that, you know, some of these governors and some of these, even President Biden was saying that he was going to circumvent the court's ruling and that somehow he was going to be able to forgive the student debt, even though the court just ruled that he doesn't have the power.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're being defiant now, and you're starting to see this. And so I brought this up because again, you know, we have a presidential campaign, race coming here and an election coming. And it's always good to remember.
We're 6 months away from the new year when it's going to really be, like, we have to
2024.
Yeah.
But it's always good to remember. And this is why I think we have to give credit where credit is due. No matter how much people hate this guy and love, you know, DeSantis more than him. It's the only guy that did it, guys. He put real conservatives in the court. And this is why this is possible.
I don't think that people love DeSantis more. I think that's bad terminology.
I think there are.
There are definitely people that like him a lot more.
Yeah. Like if you go on Twitter, there's people like that I follow.
Yeah.
Who are like, they are like never Trumpers. They don't want Trump to run again.
Okay. But I am one of those people that absolutely thinks that he should not run again. Trump is not helping our country if he runs again.
Right. And I'm on the opposite camp where I think a lot of people.
No way.
Yeah.
No, because at some point we have to make a decision at some point as a country to say age needs to be a factor. And I don't care who it is. I love Trump. I think that Trump did a great job. But we have got to lock down the age of where people can run. One, that's first and foremost, okay? And Trump is at an age where he should not be allowed to run from an age standpoint, okay? Age, and I'm basing that number one on age and age alone, okay? Number two, I love Trump.
Jesus.
We'll always love Trump. He was absolutely, in my opinion, one of the greatest presidents we ever had. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that he cannot unite our country. He cannot unite our country. And that is the second reason. No, I disagree.
No, I don't think anybody can.
Maybe he cannot fully unite, or maybe nobody can fully unite our country, but he is the one that is going to continue to divide it even more so than it already is.
So yeah. Okay. This is what I talked to a girl who works for the DeSantis campaign.
Right.
We had the same conversation and she's very passionate, you know, and I'm obviously very passionate about what I told her was this: look, I feel like the mistake that Republicans consistently make is that, hey, we just got to get a better candidate who is not so demonized and it's not so controversial. Dude, they did it to Mitt Romney. They did it to George. Mitt Romney was a fucking choir boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
they did it to Reagan and he was a rancher.
You have a media outlet, you know, a media juggernaut that will destroy anybody who doesn't agree with them. And you're not going to be able to change that, no matter who runs.
Right.
Yeah, but you have the...
Like, they're going to do that to DeSantis.
I understand that they're going to do it to him, too, but he can handle it differently than Trump did.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to be able to handle it and do what's going to be necessary.
Trump is not the answer. He's going to divide it. And because of it, the Democrats are going to win.
I don't think so.
If Trump runs.
I always say this, and this is again the discussion, the controversy or the argument that I had, which is this, is we have to acknowledge that Trump won, guys. Like I'm still from the camp. And so when people say, well, he can't win, he won already. He won. The guy won and they cheated.
True.
And so that's why I'm like, and that's why I'm like, and he's going to win again. like, did you just see, I woke up today and I see there were people lined up in South Carolina at 5 a.m, hundreds of people to see a guy that supposedly can't garner the votes. This, and I don't see DeSantis doing that. As much as I love DeSantis, DeSantis is not going to get 500 people in South Carolina. He might be able to do it in Florida, not in South Carolina.
Trump needs to get behind a candidate and push them forward.
But he's not. And that's
But that's my problem with him.
I think he'll do like one more term. And once he does one more term, he'll do that.
Yeah. I think he's the only guy right now who has the fuck you mentality. And he has.
Yeah, we need someone.
He's learned during
the 2020 elections. If we go back to the podcast and we re-listen, you guys all kept saying he can't lose. He can't lose. He can't lose. He can't lose.
And he didn't.
The fuck he can't, because there's too much corruption going on. He's going to lose.
How is DeSantis going to change that? If the cheating is still there, how is DeSantis?
And it's not going to change at all.
Because they're not going to expect that. They're everybody right now is going against Trump, and
they're going to do the same thing to DeSantis that they're doing to Trump. I'm telling
if you. Anything, if they don't think Trump's going to win, they're going to think the exact same thing that Bernie Sanders has done for the past 2 years.
Jesus. All right, guys, we got to close it. We've been bringing it one hour. All right. Anybody have any other closing thoughts, Jeremy?
Well, not without getting back into the thing.
Say your thought and then we'll close it out.
Well, when it goes back to the colleges and the student debt loans, right? Connor went to a private university, right? It's privately owned. Mm-hmm. How many of the colleges that we're sending our kids to, like, you know, just full-blown universities, colleges, whatever you want to call them, how many of those are privately owned versus publicly owned?
Oh, that's
I think Arizona there's three.
GCU.
GCU, I believe NAU, and then UTI.
No, NAU is public.
NAU is public.
Because we have a cousin who's going there free of charge.
Right. So anyways, not to get back into it too deep. The question I want to throw out there is, if these schools are offering something worthwhile, then maybe the federal government needs to get out of the money loaning business, and the colleges need to do that.
Yeah.
You want to come to our school for 4 years. Great. You pay $300 a month when you're done or whatever, right? You're equivalent to a government student loan. Why does the federal government have to be involved in a transaction between a college and a student?
It should.
That's what I like about UTI.
There's so many things that could fall into.
Right. And to Heidi's point, right? All of a sudden the government's requiring, well, the student can't do that. The parents have to do it.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why do the parents have to take out a loan to put their kid in?
For an adult to go to school.
That's what I liked about UTI, because once, I don't know if I told you this, but after being there for a year, they did that. You didn't have to get a FAFSA anymore. UTI would accept you as an individual to make payments on school.
Wait, are you telling me that on record
she signed all this
that I got fucked? Yeah. I'm pretty sure right. My kids told me I got fucked. Salty Show.
But that was after I had started. Right. Everything. They've
you know what his life insurance policy is worth? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's okay. You know, pay off my car.
Tell me the time and place. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have to close out this episode. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all on the next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
See y'all later.
Adios.
See ya. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.